if you will, to open up your Bibles with us to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. On the screens, if you can pull up Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. We're looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 on the screens. We're opening up our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers will be all over the place, ready to give you a Bible if you so desire one. We want to be a blessing to you. And so you can just lift up your hand and take a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. As I said Wednesday night, if you prefer to use your phone or iPad or Kindle or whatever, you can use that. Just make sure you're using it to look up Scripture and not to send a text. That's all I ask. And if someone texts you, text them back and say, why aren't you here at the Life on Lakeland Drive? Amen. Genesis chapter 39. On the screens, Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, we're starting a new series entitled Walking in the Fog, fog being short for the favor of God. It's God's plan for your life for it to be favored, to have His favor upon you. And we saw in the book of Acts that the people in the book of Acts were growing in favor daily. And then we saw a man get up and by the name of Stephen and preach a message. And while he was preaching his message, he mentioned two examples of people in the Bible who experienced the favor of God. The first example that he gave, it's found in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It's the story or example of Joseph. And it says, and the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But I like this next part. But God was with him. And notice this in verse 10. It says, and delivered him out of all his afflictions. Once again, it wasn't God putting afflictions on Joseph. It was God delivering Joseph from all of his afflictions. And watch what it says here in this next part. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Let's look at that again. It says, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him what? Favor. We said this last week. Notice, God gives favor. We said that the word favor in the New Testament is also translated grace. That anytime you see the word favor, you could translate it grace. Anytime you see the word grace, you could translate it favor. And what's interesting is as you read your New Testament, you see that you can grow in grace. That Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and man. In the book of James and even in the book of 1 Peter, it talks about that the humble get more grace. You can increase in grace. You can increase in favor. And what I want to do in this series is to inspire you, first and foremost, to want to grow in favor, to use your faith for favor. I want to emphasize this before we begin. Favor is not man's idea. It is God's idea for you. You know, one of the things that trips people up with this issue of faith and even confession is they think that we are trying to get God in agreement with us. Let me say this from the get-go. Confession is not trying to get God in agreement with you. If you're trying to get God in agreement with you, something is wrong with that picture. Confession is you getting in agreement with God. And there is a big, big, big difference between the two. In the book of James, it talks about how the reason why people's prayers aren't answered is that they are trying to pray a prayer based off of their own lust, their own desires. Friend, when we get in God's word, our goal is to find out what He has already said, what His will already is, and then get in agreement with that. And I want you to see today is that you don't have to twist God's arm to give you favor. Favor is not man's idea. It is God's idea for man. God is a giver of favor. And with God giving favor, it means that you need to be using your faith for favor to get an agreement with God. What we want to see is, what does favor do? What does the favor of God do for an individual when they are walking in the fog, when they are walking in the favor of God? We see one individual that the Bible highlights. We looked at him last week. We're going to look at him this week again in detail before we move on. This individual is named Joseph. We just read about him. And we see that Joseph is an individual that God gave favor to. Well, what did this favor do for Joseph? Let's find out. Genesis chapter 39. In verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." Now notice this. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Verse 3. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace or favor in his sight." In whose sight? In Potiphar's sight. "And he served him, and he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught any that he had, save that the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Go over to verse 21. You know, Joseph then had a run-in with Potiphar's wife, finds himself in prison. And in verse 21, notice what happens. "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Joseph had all of this happen to him because God gave him favor. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is no respecter of persons. If God gave Joseph favor, he would be an unjust God if he didn't give you favor. God is not a respecter of persons. You must solidify this fact in your own heart, that all throughout the Bible you see people who found favor in God's sight. And when this favor came upon their life, it completely changed their life. What I want you to see here is what it did for Joseph, what the favor of God did for Joseph. If you can pull up point number one, we see, and as we read there in Genesis chapter 39, point number one, it made him a prosperous man. Now, so many times when people read this, prosperity, they immediately think rich. And when they think rich, they think selfishness, they think greedy, they think all of these other things, the lover of money, root of all evil, whole nine yards. Here's what I want you to think of when you think prosperity. The Lord made him a prosperous man. In fact, we see in the scriptures that we read this word prosper or prosperous three times. When you see this word, what I want you to think when you think prosperity is progression or promotion. Either one of those two words work for me. When God prospers you, it is God moving you forward. Friends, God's will for your life is for your life never to go backwards, but the path of the just to grow brighter and brighter with each passing day. What that means is simply this: God intends for your life next year at this time to be better than it is now. God's plan for your life today is for it to be better today than it was a year ago. God wants your life progressing, and that includes financially. God wants you progressing in every arena of your life. I'll give you a scripture for it. 3 John 2. Beloved, I love that. Beloved, I'm loved by God. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I looked up that word prosper. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. I looked up that word prosper, and in the Greek, it means this. You can check me out on it. It means, number one, to give help on the road. To give help on the road. Number two, to succeed in business affairs. Beloved, I wish above all things that you have help on the road. I wish above all things that you succeed in business affairs. And number three, to have a prosperous journey. Beloved, I wish above all things that your journey is prosperous. Help along the road, a prosperous journey. Notice what it denotes: you going forward. You moving from one place to the next. And all the while you're moving, you're receiving help and you're receiving prosperity to help you along that way. Friends, God longs for you to prosper and to be in health and for you to grow spiritually. Why? He's a good father and he loves you. Just as you love your kids, you want to see them blessed. Do you want them selfish? No. Do you want them ingrown? No. Do you want them envious? No. Do you want them jealous? No. Do you want a lover, them to be a lover of money? No. But you do want them blessed. You want them increasing. You want them prosperous. You want to see them do well in life. And you want to see them healthy. You want to see them strong and growing in vitality. And you want to see them growing in their relationship with God, deeper in love with God, serving him more. God wants the same thing for you. Now, friends, if you struggle in this area, it seems like your life is not progressing. It's not moving forward, or you want it to be moved forward faster. You want your journey to be more prosperous. You want more help along your road. Friends, you need the favor of God. If you need to see more success in business affairs, the favor of God made Joseph a prosperous man. It kept his life progressing. Think about his life. It started out as a slave, moved on to the overseer of a house, moved from there. It seemed like it was a setback all the way to prison. But even in prison, the favor of God came upon him so strong there. He was now the ruler of the prison, prospering in prison. Then moved him all the way from there, all the way to Pharaoh's court, running a nation. Do you see how the favor of God not only helped him on his journey, but all along the way helped prosper him wherever he was at? Friends, the favor of God can do that for you. It prospers your journey. It helps you along the road. Number two, the second thing that the favor of God did for him is it made the right people notice him. This is huge. The second thing the favor of God did for Joseph is it made the right people notice him. When he got before Potiphar, Potiphar had a lot of people working for him. I'm sure people who had a longer tenure under his employment than Joseph did. Joseph, at the time he was sold to Potiphar, was around 16 to 17 years old. But when he got before Potiphar, God put so much favor on him, gave him favor in the sight of Potiphar, that Potiphar chose him to be the ruler of his house. Same thing happened to him when he got in prison. Think of all the prisoners that are there. Think about the odds of the keeper of the prison saying, you know what? You ought to be running this place, Joseph. How in the world did that happen? God put his favor upon Joseph, and it made the keeper of the prison notice him. Then you see him get all the way into Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh notices the wisdom that's on his life. Remember we read in the book of Acts, God gave Joseph favor in the sight of Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh saw Joseph, he said, you know what? You need to be running this nation. When the favor of God comes upon your life, it helps the right people notice you. Let me give you an example of how this works in a practical setting. A number of years ago, at the church, we were still over on Highway 18, and I was hosting a singles conference, and I was married at the time, but we were putting it on for the church. And we went out to Twin Lakes, and all the singles went out there, and during the night we did praise and worship, and I taught on different things and different activities, those types of things. And anyway, when we were leaving to go over to Twin Lakes, we were kind of caravanning from Highway 18 over to Twin Lakes. And everyone was kind of riding in a bus type of deal, but I was driving my own car because I had to get back Saturday early to get ready for the Sunday service. And I saw this individual out of the corner of my eye, and he now works for the church. It's Robert Earl Berry Jr., and affectionately known as Earl by many. I encourage you to call him that. And Lee, who's over the cafe, she loves being called Margaret. That's her middle name. But with that, I noticed him out of the corner of my eye. Now, at that time, he wasn't going to the church consistently. He was living, I believe, in Alabama. But he had came in for this conference and came in for a couple of days. And I knew of him, but I didn't know him. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him growing up or have fellowship with him in any type of way. But I kid you not, as I'm walking to my car, I see him out of the corner of my eye. I notice him. Now, there are a lot of other people there, but he stands out to me. And to this day, I don't know why I did it, but I went over there to him. I said, why don't you ride with me? And he got in the car with me. Well, it was just me and him in the car. Everyone else was in the other caravan, and we're riding out there to Twin Lakes. And I start talking to him about the things of God. And he just kind of is sitting there being quiet. I don't know what's going on in his life. I just felt led to minister to him. Well, that whole trip on the way up there and even while we were there, it just seemed like wherever I went, I noticed him. And then even on the ride home, we were all loading up once again to go back to the church. And I decided actually to stick around a little bit and just see everyone off. And again, I see him getting on the caravan. And I come up to him and ask him, I said, what are you doing? You need to ride with me. And so he came and got my car again. And once again, just talking about the things of the Lord. And we get back to the church. I drop him off, and I thought that was the end of that. Well, after that, for the next couple of months, he just kept coming up in my heart. And not only that, there's a guy who was on staff at the time, Jay Horn, who plays the keyboard. He's over praise and worship. He's on the church staff. He's coming up in Jay's heart all the time. Now, Jay's the same way. He doesn't really know Robert at that point. But it just seems like every time he goes into prayer, he's praying for Robert. I'm talking to him and I'm asking him, do you think we should ever interview this guy, maybe for a church position or something like that? And anyway, over the process of time, as the months roll by, Sure enough, I interview him for a job. The job was not for anything elaborate. In fact, the job was for maintenance. All right? That's not fun running maintenance. I don't care where you run maintenance. Even maintenance for a church, it's not a fun job. There's a lot to clean up. There's a lot to fix. But I see him as being able to come into this position. And so he comes in, accepts that job, and I kid you not, over the last couple of years, has just grown into an amazing young man of God. He went from that position all the way to being over college age, all the way to being over youth and helping with that. And now he's associate pastor here at Word of Life Church. And just that's not even the half of what God has for him, though. But here's my point. If you talk to Robert to this day, he identifies that moment in the parking lot where I first saw him as the turning point of his life. Now, all I saw it was is, hey, I think this guy needs to ride with me and we need to have a conversation. I didn't talk to him about anything deep. I didn't talk to him about working for a church. But that moment changed his destiny. What happened in that moment? God put his favor upon that man. That favor made me notice him. It got him over into the plan of God for his life. It's progressing him along the journey. And ever since that man has worked for this church, he's increased every single year. What is that? It's the favor of God. Friend, the favor of God, when it comes upon your life, it helps the right people notice you. Years ago, when I was looking for someone to build this church, me and Janet Dennington, who's over our financial department, she handles all the funds and sets budgets and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, we went out to meet at a seminar out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, took one class. And a man by the name of Charlie Daniels got up to do a spiel on how to build a church. And the whole time he's talking in my heart, I know when I build this church, I'm using Charlie Daniels. Charlie Daniels is the person I'm supposed to hire for this building. He didn't make any sales pitch. He didn't make any sales call. But when I saw him, I noticed him and knew I'm supposed to do business with him. And you know what? I tried interviewing all these different people. I tried to get out of hiring Charlie Daniels. But when it came down to it, came down to sign the bottom line, I knew in my heart he was called to build this church. And friends, I'm so grateful for it. It's turned in not only to a great building, but a wonderful friend. But here's my point. He didn't have to sell me. When the favor of God is on your life, it attracts the clients that you need. It attracts the business that you need. It attracts the eyes of your employer. It attracts the eyes of the people who need to notice you, to put you in the right place at the right time. The favor of God helps the right people to notice you. Point number three, our next point, point number three, let's pull that up. All that he did prospered in his hand. When you read this story of Joseph, you see that everything he puts his hand to, it is prospering. Everything he's putting his hand to is experiencing success. There are two points I want to bring to this, and they are huge. Number one, he had to put his hand to it. Putting your hand to it does not mean just showing up. All right, now let me break this down and make it real practical. If there was anyone who could have mailed in his job performance, it would have been Joseph. You talk about a dead-end job. He is a slave. There is nothing pleasurable about this job. But Joseph put his hand to it. In essence, Joseph gave that job his best. We cannot expect God to honor anything we are not honoring. So what that means is when you go into work, if you're believing for the favor of God, that means you are giving that job and your employer your absolute best. You're not goofing off. You're not cutting out early. You're not showing up a little bit late. No, friend, you are giving that employer your best. You are putting your hand to it. Friend, in the New Testament, it talks about this a lot, that when we work as Christians, we are to be the best workers our employers have on that job. If you own your own business, there ought to be a noticeable difference when you do business for someone between all the other people that they hire out to do work for them. Friend, I'm telling you, because we are to do our work not for people, not to be men pleasers, but we are doing our work as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in word or in deed, we are to do it to His glory, which means we are doing it best. Whether it is sweeping a floor, whether it's wiring someone's house, whether it's running a cable in someone's house, whether it's waiting on them at a checkout line, or whether it's waiting on them in a restaurant, we are to bring our best with us every single day. Why? Because we're expecting God to put His favor on it. If I put my hand to it, God will prosper it. But you have to put your hand to it. Friends, start honoring your job more than you ever have before. Do you know what I mean by that? It means you're giving it your best each and every day you come into that place. What I honor, God will honor. What I dishonor, God cannot put His favor on. I'll give you another example of how to put your hand to something. A time in my life where I've seen the favor of God probably almost greater than ever before was when I put my house up for sale. Me and my wife, we hadn't intended on moving, but we walked into this one house. It's a longer story than this, but anyway, we walked into this one house. We were just looking at houses for fun on one Friday. And as soon as I walked into this house, I knew that this was a house God wanted me to live in. I mean, I knew it in my heart. Before we even saw anything, as soon as we crossed the threshold of the house, I turned to the realtor and said, I'm going to buy this one. And she said, well, let's look around first. I said, we can look around, but I'm going to buy this one. Well, let's go look at other houses. We can look at other houses, but I know this is the house God has for me. Anyway, in a time like that, what I need is the favor of God. Because at that time, it was the start of the recession, houses weren't selling, and I need my house to sell. Now, if I'm believing God to put His blessing, His favor on helping me sell that house, it means that I need to put my best hand to that house. If it's in my hand, God will prosper it. So you know what the first thing I did after I put an offer on the house I wanted to buy? I called a home inspector to come look at my house. I paid for a home inspector to come look at my house. Why? Because if I want God to give me His best, I'm going to give God my best. I paid for the home inspector to come out, paid $495 for him to come out and tell me what was wrong with my house. You know what I did after that? I fixed it. Without anybody putting an offer on it, without anyone putting a contract on it. Why? Because someone who buys my house, I want to give them the best house I possibly can. If I put my hand to that house, God will bless what is in my hand. When people came to the house, I didn't have Cheerios and Fruit Loops all over the floor. Come on now, somebody. I didn't have a mess. If I'm wanting God to help me sell the house, I've got to do my part too. If I put my hand to it, God will bless what I put my hand to. If I put excellence into it, God will put His favor on it. And I kid you not, in 2 weeks, my house sold. I didn't have to negotiate. The first offer I was able to accept, and the first offer I put on the house that I bought, they accepted. What is that? That's the favor of God. It was worth the $495 I spent on the home inspection and all the other money I spent on fixing the house. But when someone bought my house, they got the best house I could possibly give them. When I put my hand to something, God will bless it. I can't expect God to help me lose weight if I'm doing my devotional like Krispy Kreme. You can't do that. You can't expect God to help you with the test if you haven't studied for the test. Friend, when you put your hand to something, God will bless what you put your hand to. So whatever you're wanting God's favor in, whether it's on the job, whether it's on your house, whether it's on your finances, you can't ask God to help you get out of debt if you keep getting in more debt. No, friend, this is not how this works. What you put your hand to, God will bless. But the key is, you got to put your hand to it. Now, on the other side of that coin, maybe some of you are putting your hand to it, but you're still not seeing any progress. What you need is the favor of God. You need to believe that if you put your hand to it, God will bless it in your hand. An example of this is someone called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a waiter in the household of the king. And he's having a conversation with someone who came from his hometown, Jerusalem. And they tell him that the walls of the city have been broken down. When he hears that, his heart gets depressed. And when he hears that, his heart gets not only a kind of sunken in, but also gets a vision that here this waiter is supposed to go back and be the governor, basically, of this city. And it's his calling that God has called him to rebuild those walls. How in the world is he going to do it? Where is he going to get the money to do that? He's just a waiter, but he's got this big vision. Well, apparently Nehemiah always gave the king his best. Now remember the principle. If you put your hand to it, the favor of God will bless it. It'll prosper what you put your hand to. And so here this waiter is. He's always giving it his best. And the way that we know that is on this one particular day, he goes before the king. And the king says, Nehemiah, you have a sad countenance. I've never seen you sad before. Every time you come into work, I mean, it's like, you're thrilled to be here. You're giving it your best. And why is your countenance sad? And he tells them the walls of the city of Jerusalem have been broken down. And make a long story short, I feel called to go rebuild those walls. You know what the king did? He said, well, what do you need? Oh, you know what you're going to need? You're going to need passage. Because between here and there, there are a whole bunch of people who may try to harm you. Let me give you a letter so that when you travel, you know you'll always be safe, knowing that I'm sending you out. And so he writes him the letter. Then Nehemiah speaks up and he says, you know, O king, in order to build some walls, it sure would be good if I had some timber. All right, now, if you've ever put a fence around your house, you know how much that costs. Imagine putting a fence around your neighborhood and then take that, multiply it by 100, and imagine building a fence around a city. Imagine how much timber that would take. You know what the king does? He says, I'll write you a check for it. He writes him a check for all of the timber. Then he goes, Nehemiah travels back to his hometown. He's just a waiter. But as soon as he gets there, the favor of God is so strong upon him, people are coming out of the woodwork to help him. And what should have taken years, he did in 52 days. Why? The Bible says that the gracious hand of God was upon him. Friend, when the gracious hand of God, the hand of God's favor comes upon your life, it brings all that you need in order to have a good journey, a prosperous journey. And the number four thing favor did for Joseph is found in the scripture here. It brought the blessing of God to his house and to his work. The Bible says that Joseph, the blessing of the Lord came upon not only the field, but also upon his house. And friend, I don't know if you've lived long enough to see this, but it seems like a lot of times when we're living life without the strength of God, we can take time on work to try to make it successful, but it seems like when we fall into that rut, it leaves the home neglected. But then it seems like when we see that the home is neglected and you go over there to strengthen the home, it's like business kind of dies down because you're not doing what you used to do in order to have success in business. And you keep running, toiling between the two, trying to make both successful. Friend, when the favor of God comes on your life, it brings the blessing of God. And when the blessing of God comes on your life, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It means that you're having success in both arenas. That in both arenas, both in your home life, your family life, and in your work life, things are growing. The journey is continuing. You're seeing increase in both. Friend, only the favor of God can bring a balance between the two. What I want to encourage you today in is this. You need the favor of God in your life. You need God's favor. The favor of God, once again, we said it last week, but it's so true. It is not God just doing favors for you. The favor of God is a gift that God gives us to help us run our race with joy, for us to finish our course and be prosperous all along the way. The favor of God helped Joseph reach his high calling, and wherever he found himself in between, he saw the goodness of God in those places. We need the favor of God. Well, how can we walk in it? Let me take you to one final scripture, and we'll close here. We're not going to get to the video today, guys. We'll maybe get to that next week. But let's turn over to 2 Chronicles, and we'll see this in closing. 2 Chronicles, in chapter 26, it's the story of a man named King Uzziah. And it is probably my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. I've preached on it many times before. And the reason why I like it so much is Uzziah became king of Israel at age 16. And it's an amazing thing to think of a 16-year-old could run a nation. But not only did this man run the nation, he ran it extremely well. And it tells us how he did it. Watch this in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 4. And he being Uzziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father, that fellow, did. Verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We saw that phrase in Genesis chapter 39. All that Joseph did, God made it to prosper. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. This word, sought, to seek, right here, it means to inquire, require, and desire. We get the impression that at 16 years old, Uzziah was keenly aware that in order to have success, I need God. I need God in my life. And so we get the impression that every day he's waking up and expressing that need to God. God, I need you in my life today. I need you to help me. He would inquire. That means to ask the Lord for help. He would require and say, God, I require your presence in my life. Like Moses, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not leaving from this place. And he would desire, Lord, I want you in my life. I don't just need you. I want you. I want your presence in my life. And the Bible says as long as he did this, God made him to prosper. I saw that as a young man pastoring this church. And I realized at that moment that, you know what? I wasn't prospering. The church wasn't increasing. I wasn't increasing. And I almost got a little mad at the scripture because I was thinking, you know, God, all Uzziah did was seek you. And because he sought you, you helped him, you prospered him. And it seems as if I am seeking you too, but I'm not seeing this in my life. And I saw real quickly over the period of the next couple of days after I prayed that prayer that I really wasn't seeking the Lord like Uzziah did. Friend, I want to ask you, when's the last time you woke up in the morning and just spent 30 minutes with God expressing your need for him for that day? I need you in my business today, Lord. I need your hand of favor. I need you to be with my words to bring the right people into my life and to have them notice me. Father, I need your blessing to balance work and home. I can't do this in my own strength. I'm asking you, Father, to help me balance both. Help me be a good father and a good husband and a good businessman. It seems like when I'm just a good businessman, I neglect these other sides. I need your touch of favor. As long as Uzziah did this, God made him prosper. It reads, you can keep reading about all the way God did prosper him. But notice the end of Uzziah's life in verse 15. It said, and he made in Jerusalem engines and invented by cunning men to be on towers and upon bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Who was giving him marvelous help? God was. Why was God helping him so marvelously? Because he was seeking God, asking for that help. But notice the next part. Till he was strong. And when you read the following story, it was in Uzziah's strength, he stopped seeking the Lord. In that moment, he forgot what got him there, and he started doing things outside of God's will, not inquiring, requiring, or desiring. Friend, I want to encourage you. The way of the transgressor is hard, but a faithful man abounds in the blessings of the Lord. You can walk in the favor of God. And the first key to walking in the favor of God is you and I realizing our need for it. And when we realize our need for it, you know what that means? It means we're asking for it. I want to encourage you every day of your life, inquire, require, and desire the Lord. Tell him how much you need his favor today. Ask him for favor today. Ask him for divine help for your race, for progression in life, to help you move forward, especially if you've been at a place where you've been stuck. Now, maybe you've seen the favor of God. Maybe your life is progressing forward. Do not make the same mistake that Uzziah did and forget what got you there. Go back to your roots and remember that with God and his marvelous help, there's nothing you cannot accomplish, nothing you cannot do. So remind yourself of how much you need his touch of favor. Amen. Let's all walk more in the fog this week than ever before. Amen.